If you have your Bibles this morning, turn to Revelation chapter 5, and let's stand in honor of reading God's Word. Revelation chapter 5, verse 1. We'll continue our study of the book of Revelation. Everybody there? And the Word says, "And I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll, written inside and on the back, sealed with seven seals. Then I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open the scroll and to loose its seals?' And no one in heaven or on the earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look at it. So I wept much because no one was found worthy to open and read the scroll or to look at it." Let's pray. Father God, we come to you this morning. Again, we praise you. We honor you, Lord God. I thank you for the opportunity, Lord God, to be in your house this morning, Lord God. And Father, as I answer your call, Lord God, to preach your word, Father, I want to stand back and get out of the way, Lord God. And you use me, Lord, as a mouthpiece unto your people, Lord God, to, Father, to spread your word, Lord God. And Father, I pray that your word, God, that Father would not fall on hard hearts, Lord God, but they'd penetrate, Lord God. And Father, that we'd listen to your word, God, and not only listen to it and hear it, Lord God, but do what it says, Lord. And Father, we do know, Lord God, that we're in the last days. Father, we got to be, Lord God. And Father, I just know the situation of this world, Lord. And Father, I just pray that you'd just give us understanding, Lord God. And Father, again, just let me stand back and get out of the way. Use me as a mouthpiece of your people, Lord. And Father, that I would only say what you want me to say, Lord God, and say anything that you want me to say, Lord. And I pray that if there's one here, God, that doesn't know you, if there's people here, God, that doesn't understand your word, God, I pray that right now they just ask for understanding of it, Lord. And God, we give you the praise. In your name we pray. Amen to God. We continue in the book of Revelation this morning. And hey, we're in chapter 5, and in chapter 5, I'll go back and just brush up a little bit. Chapter 4, I believe, is the end of the church age, and the rapture is taking place. And in chapter 4, we're all around the throne of God. And chapter 5, we are still around the throne of God. If you remember the beginning of chapter 4, John, God told John, he said, "Come up here." And from there to Revelation 21, the church is never mentioned again. And so the church is before God. God is on the throne. And as we come to chapter 5, God is on the throne. And in his right hand there is a scroll. And the word says again, I read it, it says, "And I saw the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll written inside and on the back, sealed with seven seals." This scroll that he has, that God has in his hand, is the book of life. The scroll that he has in his hand has everything that has been written from the beginning of time until the rapture of the church, and is all bound in these seven seals. And these seven seals are sealed, meaning that nothing can be put in it. Nothing can be taken out of it. It is sealed. It is signed and it is over, and God has this in his right hand, delivered to him by one of the angels, and he holds this in his hand. And everybody is before the throne. And I've been talking the last two or three weeks about this, and from a time of church's rapture, and everybody talks about heaven and what heaven's going to be like. For the first several thousand years, which is nothing to God, we're going to be before the throne of God, and we're going to be worshiping God. And that's exactly what the people were doing. Remember, we got the elders before the throne, the 24 elders. We got all of the people, all the angels are before the throne. And I want to just give you a little information on this. And basically, what is fixing to happen in chapter 5, God, the seals are going to be open, and what is going on down here on this earth is tribulation. And these seals, each seal that is open by an angel of God. There is going to be 26 angels from here to the end of the book of Revelation. And 18 of those angels are men, and that's mentioned in Revelation 8:26 and Revelation 10:1. It talks about the angels and the men that are angels. And there's seven, like I said, there's seven seals, there's seven trumpets, and there's seven veils, and there's three woes. And on one of them woes, and this is just giving a little history before I get into it, the woes, before one of the woes, if you remember, and I always want to remind you of this, because as we were going through the book of Revelation, I guess last winter, whenever in the Wednesday night study, we were looking at these woes, and before one of the woes, and it's deep in the book of Revelation, I think around 17, somewhere around there. Anyway, God has told John from the island of Patmos, he said, write this down. In one case, one of these woes happens, and he tells John, don't write this. Because things are so horrible and so messed up on this earth and all the things that are happening. So that's just a little history. So now, going back to 5:1, he says, and I saw on the right hand of him who sat on the throne, and him who sits on the throne is God, a scroll which is the book of life, and written inside and on the back sealed with seven seals. And so, again, it is sealed. I want to take you, you don't have to go here, but Isaiah 29:11 says, the whole vision has become to you like the words of a book that is sealed, which men delivered to one who is literally saying, read this, please. And he says, I cannot, for it is sealed. And so John is here before God. The scroll is there. The church is there. And everybody is worshiping God. And he has this book in his hand. And it can't be opened. Look at what Revelation 5:2 says. Then I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the scroll and to loosen its seals? You know, there's only one that is able to open up the scroll and loosen its seal, and that is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and we will read that in a minute. And that same Jesus Christ in this chapter, he is a lamb and he is a lion. That same Jesus Christ that saved you is the only one that is able to save your life. He is the only one that is able to open the scroll and tell what is written in the scroll and let happen what is going to happen on this earth. Jesus Christ is the only one. And I submit to you this morning, Jesus Christ is the only way to get before this throne. There is no other way. No other way under the earth except by Jesus Christ. And so John is sitting here and he is seeing all of this. And I can't even imagine to be John. And remember, John is Christ. He is the most favored of all apostles. John was the man. And John is here and he's before this throne. And all this is going on. And this strong angel, and I want to tell you about the angels. Like I said, there's going to be 26 of them. As we go through here, God uses angels to do a lot of things. In the book of Revelation, God uses a lot of angels to do a lot of things that happen on this earth right now today, I promise you. Angels are real. So there's 26 of them angels. And then verse 2 again, it says, then I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the scroll and to loosen the seal? And no one in heaven or on the earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look at it. There is nobody. God's word is so powerful. And if you remember, you go back to the Old Testament, the Holy of Holies, the only one that could go in to read was the priest. The only one that is able, again, to open the scroll, to read the scroll, to tell what the scroll says is the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And again, and no one in heaven, nobody in heaven, not none of the angels, none of the people, none of the elders, nobody in heaven, nobody. And nobody on earth or under the earth. God wants to make it clear that there is only one, and that is Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. There is nobody in heaven. There's nobody on earth. There's nobody under the earth. There's nobody in the sea. There's nobody anywhere that can save you except the Lord Jesus Christ. There is nobody in this world that can, there is no politician, there is no doctor, there is no lawyer, there is no woman, there is no man, there is no drug, there is no alcohol, there is nothing that can deliver you from sin and the bondage of sin except the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the only one in the book of Revelation, chapter 5, that is worthy to open the scroll, to read the scroll, and tell exactly what is supposed to happen to people. We are going to be before the throne of God with John. We are going to be standing there praising God or on our feet, probably not, on our faces worshiping God. And God is going to deliver and open the scroll to the people that are on this earth. And just part of it that God wants you to plainly see this morning. There is going to be people on this earth. And as we read this in the next weeks and months and goes, there is going to be things happen. We think Brother Buddy mentioned a while ago when he done his song. And he done great. Talked about Jesus and Jesus saving and the bad things that's going on this earth. We can't even imagine. You think them talking about the gas prices being $6 a gallon is bad? We think that coronavirus was bad, that cancer's bad, that being blind is bad, that the bad things, that is nothing compared to what is going to be happening on this earth. We're going to be safe in heaven with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And you think there's turmoil on this earth today? You think that it was bad last week? If you turn on the news, there was like 3 family killings in Houston where the husband, one case, the husband killed a 4-year-old kid, his mother-in-law and his wife. The other one, the husband stabbed the kid and his wife. And it goes on. And that's nothing. God tells us there's going to be perilous times. There's going to be times of trouble. And in our time before, but when this is going on, people, we can't even grasp what's going to be going on this earth today. It's setting up. It's getting ready. But praise God, in Matthew 24, as I always read to y'all, I got to find it again because I don't want y'all to ever forget this because God has pointed this out to me. And I got it underlined in my Bible. I ought to be able to tell right where it's at, but here it is. Matthew 24, verse 22. The world is going to be, this is right before the church is raptured out of here. And God talks about that there's going to be times that is so bad that it's never been seen. It says in verse 21, for then there will be great tribulation such as not been since the beginning of the world until time and no nor ever shall be again. But, and unless those days were short, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. For us that know Jesus Christ our Lord and Savior, we're going to be before that throne. We're going to be there when those scrolls are open. And those scrolls are not only when they get down to the end, the book of life in Revelation 21 and 20, but those scrolls are the plagues and the things. They think that when the children of Israel was in Egypt, the locusts and the blood, those plagues, that was nothing compared. These angels are going to come back to earth and they are going to, part of the sun's going to turn to blood, a moon's going to turn to blood, the sun's going to fall, half the sea's going to be taken, half of the plants are going to be taken. It is going to be chaos like we have never saw before. And John is here before the throne, and he is looking to this angel, and this angel is saying, nobody's worthy. And what does John do? He weeps. It says, so I wept much because no one was found worthy to open and read the scroll or to look at it. Nobody. Can you imagine what it would be like? And God wanted us to know now, today, John was up there writing this, prophesying this. God was telling what was going to happen. But you know why God wanted us to know this? He didn't want us to cry when we get up there. He wants us to, we're going to know that Jesus Christ is King of Kings, and He is the only one that is able to open the scroll. And so, before the throne, and John weeps. And can you imagine, just think about this happiness. It reminds me when I finally made my hard-headed self, or God convicted me, finally, to come to God, to come to Jesus. It reminds me of the day that I got saved. He says in verse 5, but one of the elders said to me, don't weep, don't cry, don't worry. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loosen its seven seals. Only by the blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Again, only by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's it. There's no other way. I keep on saying it this morning. I keep on saying it. God keeps on speaking that through me. Somebody here, God wants to know He is the only way. You may be trying everything that you can do, but you cannot do nothing only by the blood of Jesus Christ. Buddy said it a while ago. He said, I know I've got sin. Every one of us, God says we're all sinners and we're saved by the grace of God. We are made clean by the grace of God. It can't be bought. In heaven, before the throne, they couldn't hire nobody to open these seals. They couldn't work hard enough to get these seals open. These seals will be opened by Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he says, I want to touch a little bit on this, the Lion of Judah. Revelation talks about here, and this is where it's brought up in chapter 5, the Lamb and the Lion. I tell y'all all the time, and there's a lot of preaching and a lot of preachers today that stop in the book of Revelation around the end of chapter 4 because they don't want to get into any of this bad stuff. They don't want you to, they preach Jesus is love, Jesus is salvation, Jesus is the most perfect, and He is. I'm not taking that away from Him. But not only is He the lamb that the little kid can walk up to and pet, He not only is He representative of the lamb that was crucified, that was slaughtered for your sin and my sin, but He is also the Lion of Judah, the bright and morning star. He is the one that one day, and I've told y'all my crazy way of illustrating it is my daddy and my brother and I, but one day He is going to get enough of being Mr. Nice Guy. And one day that Lion, he's everything that all the preachers and all the feel-good preachers and all the... He is everything that they say, but He is also your heavenly Father, just like most. I had an earthly father that I respected, and I respect my heavenly Father because I know what my earthly father would do. If me or my brother messed up, he would wear our butt out. There ain't no ifs, ands, or buts about it. I knew what was going to happen. Jesus Christ loves us. My daddy loved me with all his heart. He told me he loved me before he took his last breath. But I guarantee you one thing, he would tear our butts up if we messed up. And then tell us how hard it was to whip us. That's what God does. You think about it. That's the way God is. He will punish you. He will let you go through hard times because he loves you. And he, one day, and that's what they're talking about right here, one day, he is the only one. All these people on earth, all of these politicians and all these philosophers and all these false religions and all these cults and all these things are here, and they're going to think, well, you know, there's no God. I believe in God. There's a supreme being, but Jesus is just a prophet. He's going to show them who the prophet is. He is going to show them who the prophet is. It's going to be like the day that me and Reagan, I told y'all 50,000 times, was the perfect illustration. God puts this on my mind for a reason, because I can see that 52 Chevrolet or Ford coming over that hill to Holton Courage grocery store up there. He told us when him mama wants to buy groceries, he said, that old llama, wrap a rope around, pull it, it's got oil and gas, y'all mow this grass. Soon as that car went over that hill going to Huntsville, we went down to Fred 2 and got us a Moon Pie and a RC. And we sat there in the swing, just having a good Saturday morning. And in a little while, here come that car back over the hill. He just pulled up in the driveway. He saw the grass wasn't mowed. He didn't open his mouth. He just pulled that belt off about that wide and about that long. And when he got through, we knew who our daddy was and we knew what we were supposed to do. That is exactly what God is going to do to us. God is our Heavenly Father. God loves us. God has given us instructions on how to live our life and what to do. And if you don't live your life the way that God tells you to do, there is going to be a day of reckoning. Now, God saved you. You're going to go to, you say, what are you saying? I'm saying that God forgives you of your sin. A couple years ago, I was skinning a deer, and I cut this finger right here from right there to right there. And it hurt. And I had to go to the doctor, first time I ever had a stitch in my life. Dr. Wells put about 28 stitches in it. But that scar is still there. You sin, God takes away that sin. But that scar is still there. And there is going to be here what before we get to heaven, you're going to go through some trials and you're going to go through something. Say, oh, no, I don't believe that. You are going, God forgives you for your sin, but there is a consequence to everything you do. And that is what is wrong with this world today. Nobody does anything wrong. If somebody does something wrong, they try to get 50 of these philosophers on the TV news at night to try to explain why they done that. They done it because they knew right from wrong, but they thought they could get away with it. It's just like this little old county judge. I think she's a county judge in Houston. I hope they're looking at it on TV. She is as guilty as anybody could be guilty. And the Texas Rangers have indicted half of her, and she keeps on saying she didn't have nothing to do with it. There is a day of reckoning coming. There is these people that are believing abortion and abortion rights and all this stuff. There is a day coming for them. And that is exactly what is going on in this book right here. God wants me to explain that to you in terms of Jesus told stories. God wants you to understand that he is God, that he loves you, that he is merciful, that his grace is sufficient for everything. But God wants you to know, not only is he the Lamb of God that was slaughtered, that was butchered on that cross for your salvation, but he is the Lion of Judah. He is the bride and morning star. He is he is the one that we're going to have eternity. We're going to have peace. There's not going to be any sorrow. There's not going to be any abortion. There's not going to be any death, no murder. No, it's going to all be peace. All is past. A great reunion in the sky. But He is God. He did create everything here, and he will, you can believe it or not, he will punish you. And let me tell you something. It says here, told John again, do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, had prevailed to open the scroll and to loosen the seven seals. And the reason he had that right, the reason, because he shed his blood on that cross at Calvary. And he went to that grave. He came out of that tomb. He went to heaven. And one day he will come again and he will receive us unto himself. And it brings me back. I didn't finish my illustration a while ago. We saw that car coming over that hill. Them disciples, when Jesus ascended to heaven, were standing there looking. The angel come to them and told them. They said, ye men of Galilee, why are you standing here staring? That same Jesus that went up is going to come back in the same way. Amen. We knew when Daddy and Mama went to Piggly Wiggly's to buy groceries that day, he was going to come back, but we didn't care. We were just going to eat our moon pie and drink our RC and have a good old day. Daddy come back over the hill. Jesus is going to come back in that eastern sky. Are you ready this morning? That's exactly what this is. I mean, that's just common, everyday country boy term. He is coming back. He left these instructions. If you want to read them, he said, I don't want to hear, I can't understand that, I can't understand. He said, if you lack wisdom and knowledge, you ask me and I will give it to you. There's nothing in here that's too difficult for any of y'all to understand. If I can get it, I promise you, you can get it. I promise you, you can get it probably better than I can get it. But God said, don't play. This is what I'm telling you to do. And he says, again, verse 5, but one of the elders said to me, do not weep. Behold, the Lion of Judah, behold the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loosen the seven seals. And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne, four living creatures, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, as though it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into the earth. Now, a lot of people say, this is God, this ain't me. A lot of people say, you have men that have dedicated their whole entire life trying to figure this out. What are these creatures? What are these living creatures? What is this? What is that? And I told y'all a couple weeks ago, every time in the book of Revelation that God shows us something, he tells us what it is. And we're so smart. A lot of these theologians are so smart. They got too many doctorate degrees, too many PhDs, whatever it is. And they forget. They read over. They think they're smarter. Look what the Bible says. And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures. Now, there's four living creatures. That's what it is. It's living creatures. Maybe been a dog and a cow. Who knows? There's four living creatures. God said there's four living creatures. And in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, as though it had been slain, having seven horns, seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into the earth. What does it say? What does it say, the seven horns and the seven? That is the seven spirits that were sent out of. It ain't nothing far-fetched. It's seven more angels that are sent into the earth for God. That's what it says it is. Why is I want to spend get 40 college degrees and 1,000 hours of college and try to study everything that I can study and try to figure out these living creatures? In the midst of the elders stood a lamb, and it had been slain. Jesus Christ, the lamb, was slain. Jesus, all right? He represents the lamb, having seven horns. They try, what, seven horns, seven eyes? Oh, man, that's a monster. The word says, which are the seven spirits of God sent into the earth? That's it. The end of the book. Why do I want to say that them seven spirits or something that they're not. Why do I want to sort of start making stuff up of these eyes? I mean, God said, which are. This is what it is. That's what which are, man. That's what it is. That's what this book is. This is. Which is. This is a book of instructions that you have to have and have to know in your heart in order to go to heaven, accept the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the instruction manual is what I'm trying to say. This is it. That you can buy all the books, all the things that you, and a lot of these books are good. That pamphlet I had, it's good, but it's straight from the Word of God. It's not something that they try, we'll get to it after a while, but the locusts and the, they try to make helicopters and army tanks and airplanes. God says exactly what it is in this book. I'll show y'all when we get. He says what it is. It is what He says it is. He is the only one worthy. He knows what it is. And He told us what it is. And He means what He said. Verse 7 says, then He came and took the scroll out of the right hand of Him who sat on the throne. So God sat on the throne with the scroll in His right hand. And Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, the only one that was able to open these scrolls, took it and began to break the seals on it. And that's what the whole book of Revelation, all the way to the end of time, until the Revelation 21, Jesus is opening these scrolls on the tribulation that's going on this earth. Verse 8 says, and now He had taken the scroll and the four living creatures and the 24 elders. Remember, the elders were on their face before Him, before the Lamb, each having a harp and a golden bowl. What's a harp? A harp's a harp. A golden bowl is a golden bowl. Go back to Leviticus. Go back to Deuteronomy. You read all this in the Old Testament too. He tells you what. So it's what He says it is. The harp, the golden bowl, full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. There ain't nothing in that bowl except the prayers of the saints. That, He tells us, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song. You think those songs we were singing this morning were wonderful? They were. But can you imagine singing in a heavenly choir with thousands and thousands of angels singing? And He says, and they sang a new song. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain. Jesus Christ was slain and has redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people of the nation. Everybody, Jesus Christ went to that cross, no matter how much you hate it or how much you dislike it, He went to that cross for everybody. It don't make any difference if it's a poor person under the bridge, the homeless person, the drug addict, the prostitute, the alcoholic. It don't make any difference. He died for each and every one of us, and every one of us are precious in His sight. The Lamb of God is the only one worthy. The only one worthy to save us. We talk about folks. We talk about who they are, what to do. God loves every one of them, and He is the only one that's worthy. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open the seal. You were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood, by the blood of the Lamb, by Jesus shedding His blood on the cross, out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God. And we shall reign on earth. I'm going to stop right there. We shall reign. We are God's people. By the blood of God, we are kings and we are priests. We were nothing until He saved us. But now, we are God's people. We are His people. We are His chosen people. We are all alike. Not only the Jews, the Gentile, the red, yellow, black, and white, the green. might not all say this, but I'm going to say it anyway. God even loves Biden and Nancy Pelosi. Amen. A lot of people hate him. He loves them. Got to love everybody. Got to pray for those in charge. God loves every one of us. He looks over all of that. We can't see. We're not worthy to look on. I mean, we start seeing troubles all the time. We start picking stuff. Yesterday we had the service of Sister Jerry and Judy's brother, and they were talking about how particular he was. He was a gold medalist in shooting rifles and pistols and archery, and went to the Olympics and all that kind of. But the guy that preached his funeral was talking about he didn't even know who he was, and he looked down there at him, and he was shooting his bow, and he said, he kept watching this guy look at him. He looked back at him. He looked at him. He said, when he got through, this guy just walked over to him and said, you got three problems. He told him exactly what he was doing wrong. Jesus Christ is looking at each and every one of us right now. You ain't hiding nothing. You may think you had. You ain't hiding nothing. He knows exactly what you're doing. Right now, today, when we give this invitation, you can come clean. You can just say, Lord, confess it with your mouth, believe it in your heart, and all you got to do, you don't have to sit here and say, I've done this last night, I've done this now, I've done this when I was 12, I've done this when I was... He knows what you've done. All he wants you to do is say, Lord, I have messed up my life. I have ruined it. I have destroyed it. But now I believe that you died on that cross. I believe that you're going to be the one in the end that is going to rule this earth, that I'm going to live with you the rest for eternity. And God, I believe you're the Son. I believe that you gave your life on that cross at Calvary. I believe that you died, Lord. I believe that you went to that tomb, that Joseph, the Arimathea, gave you that tomb, gave you that place, and they put you in it. And on the third day, God, I believe you arose. And I believe that you appeared to 500 people plus the disciples. And Lord, I believe as those disciples were standing there gazing into the sky, the angel told them, ye men of Galilee, why are you looking in the sky? That same Jesus that went up is going to come back. Because he says it. John 14:1 says, and you know, he says, believe in the Father, believe in me. And he says, in my Father's house are many mansions, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I am going to come again and receive you unto myself. Jesus is the one coming. And just like my daddy to come over a hill in that 49 Ford, black and white, Jesus is coming over that eastern hill over. And if you ain't ready, it's all over. That book, that scroll that we just talked about, is sealed with 7 seals. Can't be open. Can't be nothing written in it. It's over. It's done. It's done. There is some people that's going to, we'll get to that too. There is some people that's going to come out of that revelation. I mean tribulation period. We'll talk about that. But, that just shows how deep the love of God is. But I'm going to tell you something. You want to catch that first bus load out of here. That's the one you want to be on. Amen. You want to catch that first bus load out of here because you're going to be okay. We're going to be before the throne. And we're going to get to see all this. Not a motion picture of anything that you could see that we're going to be able to see all this as he opens some scrolls and as those angels to pledge. But let me tell you, Jesus is here. Jesus is alive. All you got to do, I would wish that you'd come down here and get on your knees on this altar and pray to God. You can ask him where you at, but I'm going to tell you something. When you ask him, you may be too bashful, too shy to come down at all right now. But once you ask him and he comes into your life, you're going to tell somebody. So I'm going to ask you right now. Sister Ruth's going to play a hymn of invitation. I want everybody to stand in this house. I want all the Christians that will come down here and pray. And Father, I come to you right now, Lord, and Lord, we thank you for the blessings that you've given us, Lord God. Father, we thank you for salvation. We thank you, Lord God, that there is a way. God, that there is a day, Lord God, that there is going to be peace. And peace is going to rule. God, I thank you for that, Lord. I thank you. Lord, I ask you right now, God, I pray, if there's one here, God, that doesn't know you, God, I pray that they'd come down here, Lord God. And Father, if they don't know how, Lord God, just come to me, and I would tell them the words to say, Lord God. But God, I want everybody to understand that there's no power in me to save anybody. The power rests in the Son. And Father, I pray that they'd just come down and get on their knees and say, Lord, I'm a sinner. And I believe you now. And at that second, you would enter their life and change their life forever and ever and ever. Lord, we praise you, we honor you, and we love you. Father, I know there's someone out here, Lord, that needs a closer walk with you. God, I pray right now that all Christians would come down and pray. Father, that if there's one here that doesn't know you, that they'd come right now. In your precious name we pray, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.